Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas with another Fishers of Men video broadcast, and it is good to be here this evening. And tonight, we're going to be going through Romans chapter 5. And so, I hope this will be a blessing to you. I hope that, going through Romans has been a blessing to you. My prayer and hope is that my videos will be something that God can use to bring people to Him. Amen. I want to see souls. I want to be able to see souls as a result. I want to see souls be won to Christ as a result of this ministry. Amen. I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people come to know Christ. I want to see people have a relationship with Christ and be able to have put their faith and trust in Christ for what He did for them at the cross. Amen. So I want people to have a new birth. I want people to be saved as a result of this. So I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I hope this has been something that you've really... This has been a change. There's been changes in your life as a result of this. And I hope that, that you get what I'm getting at. Amen. So that's what we're going to be going through tonight is Romans chapter 5. Now, really quickly, a couple of announcements. The first announcement is I have officially came out with an intro video for this broadcast, it's not like so much of a video, but it will be attached to the video, it's basically to introduce to you the Fishers of Men broadcast, and it says something like the Fishers of Men Ministries presents the Fishers of Men broadcast. So it's pretty neat. Want to encourage you to check it out. It's kind of tinkering around and toying around with some ideas and stuff like that on my phone, and just so happens that sort of popped out and I really liked it. Some others had liked it. And I'm going to be attaching that now from here on out. I'm going to be attaching that in front of all my videos. So hopefully that my videos may have more of a professional look to them and, have a professional start to them as well. Amen. So pray for me on that. Pray that, that will be a blessing for people. Feel free to check it out on YouTube as well as Facebook. If you're on Facebook, check it out on Facebook. I post it on my Facebook page. Also check it out on YouTube. If you follow me on YouTube, feel free to, share that with others. Speaking of which, I do want to say this, okay? And I don't say this very often. Actually, I really don't say it at all, and I'm gonna really start saying this because I really would like to put an emphasis on this, okay? But if you guys want to share my videos with other people, you don't need my permission to do so, okay? If you feel led to share them, please share them. Don't wait and ask for my permission to share them with people. If the Lord leads you to share these videos, you have my permission. Go crazy. Get the word out there. Share them with people. People need the gospel, especially in this day and age. I'm giving you permission to share them. Don't wait and ask me for permission. I'm giving you my permission to share these videos with anybody you like. And, people need the gospel. Amen. So just, if the Lord leads you to do so, please, 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 please share them with people. Listen, if you guys know people, share my YouTube channel. Please, please share my YouTube channel. Share my sermon audio page. Share whatever aspect of this ministry you'd like. Point people to those videos if you like, but that is if you're led to, okay? Now, I say that because my hope and desire is for people to come to know Christ and to have a relationship with Him, okay? So please, if you're led to, share share these videos with people. You know, if you're on Facebook, you know, like, share, subscribe. Amen? Like, share, and subscribe to people. Well, like, share, and subscribe. Share them with people. Knock yourself out. I don't care who it is or what the situation is. If you're led to share it, share the videos. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to share my videos if led. The more the word can get out, hopefully people might get saved. Amen? So, please, if the Lord leads you to share these videos with someone, please feel free and don't hesitate to do so. Amen? So, I just wanted to just let you know on that. Another thing, Sunday, I almost lost my train of thought. Sunday, we won't be doing a video because I'll be down in Elma preaching Sunday night at Freedom Free Will Baptist Church at 6 o'clock p.m. Okay? So, there will be no broadcast. The sermon that I do will be in replace... Well, the sermon that I do on Sunday will be in replace of Sunday's broadcast. So there will be no Sunday broadcast. Okay? So, I'm still debating whether if I'm going to record it by this or if I'm going to record it by voice. I'm not sure yet. So pray for me on that. Pray for my message. I'm still getting some things together for that. By the way, since the time is coming pretty close, my nose is itchy. I don't know why. Okay, but, man, my nose is itchy. Woo! My nose itchy. Boy. Okay. That was awkward. But anyways, what was I saying now? Okay, so pray for me Sunday, still getting stuff together, still determining whether I'm going to do by this or by audio. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. So pray for me on that. Pray for the message. Pray that, God will just have his way and will in that. And, pray that lives will be changed as a result of that. Pray that, pray that people will be one to the Lord. Maybe later on in the future as a result of that. So pray for me on that. Let's see. And then I think that's going to be it for announcements. Please keep me in prayer. I have some unspoken prayer requests I want you all to pray for me for, some personal stuff. So pray for me for that. Pray for my videos. Pray for my ministry. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for our government. We need to pray for our leaders. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage one another. Amen. We need to encourage one another. I kind of get the feeling that this is kind of a very discouraging time for believers. So pray for one another. I know there's a fellow sister in the Lord that wants prayer. I won't mention her name. I won't mention what the actual needs are, but pray for her and her family. Lord knows. Amen. So keep that. Please keep her in prayer, if you will. If you guys have any prayers or praises, feel free to mention them. I would probably be babbling on and on and on about that. But no, we'll leave it at that. So let's pray for one another. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 5. Okay. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And while you guys are turning there, I'm already turned there, but while you guys are turning there, I do want to mention this. I'm kind of going through, I've out of request, I was requested to go through the book of Romans, and to kind of, you know, just kind of go through and, I know somebody that wanted to have some understanding, wanted to just make things, very simple for them, something for them to ease, you know, something easy for them to understand. And so they asked me if I can go through the book of Romans, and I did. Well, not did. I am going through the book of Romans now, and so hopefully that'll be a blessing to them. Hopefully, you know, this will be something that will be a blessing to many others, amen, that may not fully understand the book of Romans, may not understand, you know, the Word of God in its entirety. And also pray for me as well, as I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about maybe just kind of preaching just through the books, right now. I still have to finish up my three categories of sin series. So eventually we'll get back around to that. It probably won't be till next, a week from Sunday. So pray for me on that. We got the lust of the eyes to do, and then the lust of the flesh. And then hopefully after that we'll be done. It's a series that's been kind of dragged out too long, and it's been, you know, so we'll eventually get back to that. But I don't know, lately it seems like, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea to kind of preach through the books, you know, here a little, there a little. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God and not just, you know, I know pastors that only preach out of just one book, and you really need to preach out of the whole Bible, amen. One book is not enough. You need to preach the whole Bible. A pastor can spend a whole lifetime on one book, but really, we need to be preaching the whole counsel of God and not just focusing on one book. Amen. So anyways, just something out there, you know, just wanted to share. But if you're at Romans chapter 5, we'll begin here in verse 1, okay? Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something I want to mention of this is very profound, okay? It says, therefore, being justified by faith, okay? So let me tell you something about that, okay? You can sit there and think that you're a good person all day long and do all good works, give to charities, till you're blue in the face. You can do all the good works in the world and not be justified. Do you understand? What I'm saying is, good works will not justify you. Only faith will. Faith in whom? Faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. So it is by faith, it's by faith and by grace, through faith that we are justified, and it's because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if you're here tonight and you're watching this and you are born again, you've been sealed by the Holy Ghost, you know where you're going when you die, means that you know you're going to heaven. If you know you're going to heaven, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, and you believe on Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in Him, okay, it is by that faith, okay, that we are justified. And because by faith we are justified, it's through faith in Christ that we're not just justified, but it's through Christ that we have peace with God. Now, why is this? Okay, well, I don't want to speculate here, but when Christ died on the cross, okay, our sins went on Christ. Christ's righteousness came on us. But at the cross, our sins were judged. And I'm taking probably a wild shot at this in the dark, and I can be wrong on this, But I do think that our sins, God poured out his wrath upon our transgressions at the cross. Okay? Because those who are born again are not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed unto judgment, but not wrath. Now, why is that? Well, I think it's because God poured out his wrath on Christ at the cross. Okay? And if you don't believe me on that, okay, the biggest possibility that could have happened is when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, Christ paid that price for our sin. Our sin went on him. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So, it's because of what Christ did for us at the cross and the fact that he died in our place, he resurrected on the third day. We're by faith in what Christ did, we have peace with God, not because of what we did, it's because of what Christ did for us at the cross. If that makes sense. Amen. I know that was a mouthful for verse 1, but I wanted to just kind of get that out there. Okay. Now, let's get back into verse 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Now, where is that at? Okay, turn with me to James. Save your spot in Romans. And let's just flip over to James. Okay. James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And we just got done reading here, okay? It's in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Worketh patience. That's what we just read here in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Okay? Now, it says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go ahead and take a look at that for a second here. I gotta type that up. Whoops. Okay. You know what's funny? We'll be actually getting into this verse, but in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? So, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But now, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Okay? Christ was the only one who was righteous. He was the only one that kept the law. He's the only one that was righteous. He's the only one that was without spot, without sin, and therefore, he was that spotless Lamb of God. Okay? And he died in our place so that we wouldn't have to have and go through wrath. Amen. Christ died so that we can marry him. Amen. Christ died for us so that we may marry him. Christ is the bridegroom. We, the church, are the bride. Amen. Now, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that brings me up to okay, I want to take your attention to John chapter 15, verse 16, okay? And I want you to keep this in mind as I read John 15, 16, okay? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, okay? He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Okay? So, now what does that have to do with anything? Well, the thing is, while we were yet sinners, Christ chose us and died for us. Now, I don't want you to think that God only died for a certain elect. Okay? That's not biblical. But what I'm saying is that he chose us from the foundations of the world. Okay? And yet that while we were its sinners, Christ could do, he died for our sins, he rose from the grave, and he did that work which we couldn't do, I'm making this really confusing, so I apologize, okay? But here's the thing. We did not choose him. He chose us. Okay? And he chose us. See, when Jesus was praying in the garden, there was a part of, I believe there was a part of him that didn't want to go through it. Okay? Because when Jesus was praying, he said, not my will. He said, if this cup may pass over me, you know, he asked the Father to let the cup pass over him, not by his own will, but by his Father's will. Okay? But you want to know something? Christ willingly went to the cross for you and I and everybody else. We didn't choose him, but he chose us. And by going to the cross, he chose us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and still is. Amen. Now, there's another verse I want to share with you too. Let's see here. Just hang on a second. Okay, I remember now. Okay, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't love him first. We love him because he first loved us. Well, what does that mean? It means that Christ died. That yet, while we were yet sinners and wretched with our sin, Christ loved us so much that he went to the cross for you and I. You know, the good news is he's not on that cross anymore. Okay, he's not on that cross anymore. He died and resurrected on the third day, and now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Amen. He is coming again. We love him because he first loved us. and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Now, not for us only, but he died for the sin of the whole world. Amen. He died for everybody. Even the most wicked and vile sinner you can ever think of. You know, and I sometimes tend to think, we lose sight on this. You know, Christ died for Hitler. Christ died for Stalin. Christ died for Joe Biden. He died for Trump. He died for all the wicked politicians. He died for them. He died for them. But those people have made a choice to reject God. Amen. So remember, just remember, if you think you are too wicked to be saved, just remember that Christ, he died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He died for the sins of the whole world. Not just for his people, but for the whole world. Amen. Now, in verse 9, much more than beginning, begin now, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, this is good, folks. Listen, what did I just say earlier? I said, we are not appointed unto wrath. Why? Because I said that I believe that God poured his wrath out on the cross. In other words, Christ took that wrath for you and I so we wouldn't go through it. And that gift is still available for people to accept. But the thing is, people have chosen to reject that free gift. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood of bulls and goats was a temporary measure. Okay, it could wash away temporarily, but it was not a permanent thing. With Christ, it is permanent. Do you know why? Because his blood is pure. It's holy. Christ wasn't just perfect, but he was innocent. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And guess what? If we go back up to verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Christ took that wrath so we wouldn't have to, which is why we are not appointed unto wrath. As believers, we are not appointed unto wrath. Does that make sense? We're not appointed unto that. Okay? But it's through the blood of Christ that we're justified, that we are cleansed, and that we're saved from wrath through who? Through him. That's taught through Jesus Christ. So if you're truly born again today, okay, you are justified by faith in Christ, that Christ shed his blood for you at the cross, cleansed you with his blood. Okay? Cleansed you with his blood. And because you are a child of God, you are not appointed unto wrath. Okay, you're not. Now, we are appointed unto death and judgment, but we are not appointed unto wrath. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you guys are not saved, I'm going to say this in a loving way, okay? As loving as I can get it, but this is a warning to you guys, okay? For all of you that are lost, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you reject Christ, there's going to come a day where you will have to go through that wrath. You will. And honestly, I really wouldn't want to see you have to go through wrath. I'd rather see you put your faith and trust in Christ. I'd rather have you see and know that Christ did that for you in your place so you wouldn't have to. Amen. So please, I beseech you, all of you that are lost, please, while there's still time, I beg you, please accept Christ. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's nothing complex about it. Cry out to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and that He rose again on the third day, you'll be saved. Cry out to Him. I'm not going to ask you to repeat a prayer. Just cry out to Him and ask God to save you, because He will save you. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him. Ask and you shall receive. Christ wants you to get saved. He wants, and by the way, being saved, don't just cry out to God to get saved because you're fearful of hell. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, we want to be saved from hell. And that's what happens when we get saved. But do it because you know that you are a sinner, and do it because you legitimately know that you are in need of a Savior and that you want to have a relationship with Him. Don't do it just to get out of hell. Don't do it just to get out of hell free card. Okay. Do it because you legitimately want to know Christ. Don't do it just because, you know, for any other reason, but do it because you want to be saved. Amen. And there's nothing complicated about salvation. It isn't. Okay. Now, it says here in verse 10, it says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Again, listen. When Christ died on the cross, our sins went on Christ. His righteousness came on us. Christ, by His death and resurrection, while we were yet enemies of God. You know what? Hang on a second. Okay, while we were yet enemies of God and sinners, lost in our sin, okay, Christ reconciled us back to God. Okay, now I want us to, there's a verse that I can't remember, enmity. Whoops. There we go. Enmity. Okay, check this out. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to know something? Before you got saved, you were God's enemy. You were an enemy of God. Before you got saved, you were an enemy of God. You know why? Because you were an adulterer. You are either an adulterer or an adulteress. Now you might say, well, how is that possible? Because, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, sure you did. And you may not recognize it, but in God's eyes you are. You know, let me tell you something. When you put anything above God, anything you put above the one true God is an idol. And when you worship an idol, you are guilty of idolatry, which in a sense, you are guilty of adultery. Spiritual adultery. So you may not be going around sleeping around and all that stuff. But if you're putting an idol before God, you're an adulterer. If you're not saved, you're an adulterer and you are an enemy of God. But the good news is you don't have to remain an enemy. Accept Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in what Christ did for you at the cross. Accept that free gift of salvation. And the moment that you get saved, the moment that you truly get saved, Christ reconciles you to God by the death, by his death and resurrection, and by the blood that he shed for you at the cross. Okay? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? Sin came through Eve first. Let's be real here. Where did sin enter in the world first? It was through Eve, because Eve was deceived. Man, Adam, was rebellious. Okay? But by Adam and Eve's sin, they brought sin into the world. So every time they reproduce, and every time that people reproduce now and have kids, their kids have a sin nature. And it goes back to Adam. Okay? And because of sin, death had reigned. Okay? Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and came short of the glory of God. Now, this is going to be next week here, okay? But here in Romans, actually, let's see here. Maybe it's not next week. Let's see here. I thought it was Romans 6, but maybe I'm wrong. No, that's not. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are. If you were born in this world and you are a human and you have a flesh, you have a sin nature. Amen. You have a sin nature. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. let me just give you some perspective here. If by one man sin entered into the world, and death reigned by sin, how much more by one man the gift of eternal life people will live through the second Adam? Amen. When you come to know Christ, life reigns. When Adam sinned, death reigned. And without Christ, death reigns. But the moment you get saved, and the moment you come to Christ, life reigns. Amen. And it's by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. Amen. Now, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Okay? And not as it was by one that sinned. Okay? That one that sinned was Adam. Okay? And sin brings condemnation. Without Christ, we are condemned because we believe not the only begotten Son of God. Okay? For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Okay? By one that was sin. Okay? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Okay? But the free gift, okay, what's that free gift? That's eternal life. Eternal life, being saved, being born again. That's a free gift. Okay? That comes only through Jesus Christ. Okay? But the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. Remember, we are justified by the shed blood of Christ and what Christ did for us at the cross. Okay? We're justified by the blood of Christ, not of yourselves. It's not of works. It's by faith in Christ and what he did for you and in the blood that he shed for you at the cross. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay, we're almost done. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Listen, folks, when you're lost in your sins, and you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're lost, you're not saved, you are condemned because your sin condemns you. You are condemned because you believe not the only begotten Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, and you're not justified. You can only be justified by passing from death to life, which means the only way you can be justified is by the shed blood of Christ and what Christ did for you at the cross, and by putting your faith and trust in, by putting your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. It's only through Jesus Christ you can ever be justified. But by the law, no flesh shall be justified. You'll be justified by faith in the shed blood of Christ and what He did for you at the cross, and there is no other way to be justified. And it's not just justification, it's justification of life. You'll live because you put your faith and trust in Christ. But as a believer, we must die to ourselves and be a living sacrifice, which is much easier said than done. We need to die to ourselves. If Christ died for us, we should be willing to lay our life down for Christ, to serve Him and His kingdom. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, whose disobedience? That is Adam's disobedience. He rebelled. Okay? He rebelled. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let me tell you something. Just as Adam's disobedience, okay, many were made sinners through his disobedience, there came one, which was Jesus Christ, who was perfect, pure, without sin. He obeyed every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled the law. And because of his obedience and his faithfulness to the Father, Christ's obedience, many shall be made righteous. You know, when you're made righteous, it's not your righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness on you. Okay? Now, we went to this passage. Okay? We went to this passage. But turn with me to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. And I kind of want to remind you of this passage. Okay? So Zechariah chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1, and it says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now the filthy garments represent your righteousness. You have no righteousness. Your righteousness are as filthy rags to God. Okay? It says, "And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." Okay? That's a picture of being made righteous. Okay? That is a picture of being made righteous. When a sinner comes to Christ and when they're saved, the old filthy rags get taken off, and Christ's righteousness, Christ clothes you with righteousness. and it's not your clothes, it's new clothes that you get when you are saved. When you are clothed, that's a representation of being saved. Okay? Turn with me to Genesis. Okay? Turn with me to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 8. And this is after they sinned, and this is after they fell and they sinned against God. Okay? Verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man..." Okay, so stop right there for a second. Okay, nakedness is a picture of being ashamed. It's a picture of shame. Okay? That's a lost person. When you're lost, whether you realize it or not, you're spiritually naked. A lost person is spiritually naked. Okay? Now, I want us to turn... Now, this is what happens in verse 21. Okay? It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Okay? Think about that. That's a type and picture of salvation. When you're saved, God is the one that clothes you. You do not clothe yourself. God clothes you. Okay? God made a coat. God is the one that clothed Adam and Eve. When you're lost and you're dead in sin, you're naked and you're ashamed. But when you come to know Christ, and when you're justified by His blood, God clothes you with His righteousness. Amen. He clothes you with His righteousness. And it's because of that that you are made righteous by what Christ did at the cross. But it was only by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that was what Christ did for you at the cross. It wasn't anything you did. It was the righteous. It was the obedience of Christ. We'll finish up here. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound." Now, that does not mean that you should go off and sin so grace can abound more. And we'll be talking about that actually next week, so we won't be getting too much into that. But next week in chapter 6, we will be getting into that. And as a matter of fact, we're going to backtrack to this verse next week so we can get an understanding and a picture of what Paul is saying in Romans 6. Okay? "But moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound." That does not mean that sin is a lot, that grace is a license to sin. And we'll see that next week. Okay, last verse and we'll be done. It says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, one man's disobedience, Adam's sin hath reigned unto death. but by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, who is the second Adam. Even so, might grace reign through the second Adam, who is Christ. Grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, here's something really cool for you, okay? Adam, God said, in the day that ye eat thereof. Okay? The Bible talks about how one day is 1,000 years. Let's see here. I gotta go down all the way. Okay. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Do you want to know something? Really quickly, and I want to close with this, okay? God said, He said to Adam, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall die." Well, was God right in what he said? Well, Adam didn't die in that day. He brought death in. So yeah, he started to die. But do you know how old Adam lived? Adam lived to be 930 years. One day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Adam did not yet make it to one day or 1,000 years. He didn't quite make it to 1,000 years. Not quite to one day. But God was right in what he said. He said, "In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." And guess what? He did. Before that 1,000 years was up, Adam died. But you want to know something? Here's something really cool. Do you know what the 930th chapter of the Bible is? The 930th chapter of the Bible is Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The generation. The genes. By one man's disobedience, sin reigned. That was Adam. By one man's obedience, life reigned. By one man's obedience. That was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second Adam that came to bring life, and life everlasting. Amen. The 930th chapter is Matthew 1:1. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. God's word is good, amen. Well, listen, I love you guys. Hopefully, you guys got something out of this. I know it was a lot of packed full of stuff, a lot of information. I hope this is a blessing to you guys. And I'm just going to make sure Peter's turned off here. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. There we go. But anyways, I hope this is a blessing to you guys. I hope you guys got something out of this. Amen. Hopefully that you'll share this video. Feel free to share this video. I'm encouraging you all to share the video. Amen. Share it if the Lord leads you to share the video, then share the video. Amen. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. Anyways, quick reminder, no broadcast Sunday. When I preach at the, there is no broadcast on Sunday because I'll be preaching down in Elma. I will have that message recorded and put on the internet, and that will just be in replace of the broadcast on Sunday. Other than that, that's going to be it for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great night. And we'll see you all. We'll see you all next time. God bless you guys. Love you. See ya. Bye.